ProMaster van stacked so high with brand name tools, you'll be glad you've got that 76 inches of cargo height. We'll even brand it for you, so there'll be no doubt who's riding in style. Worth over 100,000 big ones, enter at Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway. Hear that? That's opportunity honking. No purchase necessary. For official rules and eligibility details, visit Ferguson.com/Ram Van Giveaway.
I'm Kyle Montgomery with NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network. A new twist Tuesday night in Zeke Elliott's fight against his 6-game suspension. A federal judge granted the Cowboys star a temporary restraining order, which means he'll be able to play this Sunday. The order's good through October the 30th or until further proceedings. The NFL does have the right to appeal. Elsewhere Tuesday, a group of players met with Commissioner Goodell and several owners to discuss ways to address social issues in a positive way. Both sides said the meeting was productive and they plan to meet again within 2 weeks. Dominique Rodgers-Cromartie will play this week after the Giants suspended the corner last Sunday for violating the team rules. Albert Wilson and Charcantrick West, meantime, both need practice Tuesday with an injury for the Chiefs, but no word yet on if they'll play Thursday in Oakland. And Panther star Luke Kuechly has not yet cleared concussion protocol, but he's progressing according to the team. He did light work, but did not practice on Tuesday. This has been NFL Network Now on the Westwood One Radio Network.
I'm Jay Farner from Quicken Loans. The rate today on a 30-year fixed-rate mortgage is 3.875%, APR 4.05%. But choosing the right mortgage lender means choosing much more than just a rate. Let me ask you, does calling the company with the best client service in America, with 11 J.D. Power Awards to prove it, matter? Does calling the company that invented Rocket Mortgage, the industry's most innovative, client-focused technology, matter? Does calling the company with 17,000-plus team members who are helping to rebuild the great cities of Detroit and Cleveland matter? Of course it matters. No wonder our clients have made Quicken Loans America's number one online lender. Call Quicken Loans today at 800-QUICKEN or go to rocketmortgage.com for the best mortgage experience on earth. That's 800-QUICKEN.
Call for cost information and conditions. Equal housing lender licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 30.
5:05, welcome in and welcome back. Hour number two of the Todd Bromelkamp Show underway, along with Alex Kuhn, our producer Kyle Mann, taking you up until 7 o'clock tonight. High school football on the horizon for you tomorrow. Check out our website, kgymradio.com, for the full schedule of this week's games. While you're there, you can also vote in the Emil's Hideaway poll question today. It is simply, will the Cubs stave off elimination tonight at Wrigley Field in Game 4 against the Dodgers? The lineup is out. It's been out for a while. Albert Elmora leading off in center. Kyle Schwarber, who provided the only run last night for the Cubs with a solo homer in the first inning, is in left field batting second. Chris Bryant, Anthony Rizzo, no surprise there. Wilson Contreras, Addison Russell, Javier Baez returns to the lineup. John Jay is batting eighth in right field, and then Jake Arrieta possibly making his last start, and they'll face Alex Wood, another talented left-hander that the Dodgers have to throw out there. We go from baseball to reminding you that not Chris Williams. I wish we were still talking to Chris Williams. He's like Rima. He's got another radio show. Everybody's got a radio show between 4 and 6 or 4 and 7, and we don't get to talk to Chris anymore, and that's part of the reason we began chatting with Brent Bloom, but he's going to be with us coming up at the bottom of the hour. Nobody in the state of Iowa, and I feel very comfortable saying this, is a bigger fan of the National Basketball Association than Brent Bloom, and we may rib him a little bit about the two games that kicked off the NBA season last night. Look, they were both good ones. You had James Harden and the Rockets outlasting the Warriors by a point, 122-121, and then Kyrie Irving and the return to Cleveland and Cavaliers winning 102-99, but the major story for Boston is just about 5-6 minutes into his Celtics career, Gordon Hayward goes down with what can only be described as a gruesome injury, and I don't know why, but people have a tendency to share and repost the footage of that. I didn't see it in real time, and I heard bad injury, and I thought, well, I'll seek this out. I'll see how bad it is. And I took one look, and I never want to see it again in my life. It's very similar was it the Louisville basketball
Kevin
player
Ware, yes.
in the NCAA tournament several years ago who had the bad injury. I don't know a timeline as far as recovery from that, but it sounds as if there was some serious structural damage that was done to Gordon Hayward last night, and it's going to be a long time before he's going to be out on a basketball court again. And I can't imagine anything worse than being a fan and being excited for the first day of the season, whether it's the NBA, Major League Baseball, NFL, whatever, and literally within minutes of the start of the season, you lose a star player like that. I just... absolutely devastating for the Celtics. Even worse than starting the season 0-1, obviously.
And it just makes the Eastern Conference that much less intriguing. And it makes the Boston Celtics that much younger around Kyrie Irving. And that's what you say after you basically say you feel terrible for Gordon Hayward, because this was a guy who played in Utah in somewhat anonymity for years, kind of built up his brand as a star player on a team that not a lot of people watched, made somewhat of a run in the NBA playoffs, got a big contract with the Celtics. The Celtics trade away a couple of players. They bring in Kyrie Irving, and you think, okay, well, they're probably not going to beat the Cleveland Cavaliers in the Eastern Conference, but they're building for the future, and they have assets at their disposal. They have draft picks, and within a couple years, maybe, when LeBron's getting older, they'll be able to contend. But last night, there didn't need to be any less intrigue in the National Basketball Association, yet this injury created a lot less intrigue.
The official diagnosis is a dislocation and fracture of the left tibia, and he will require surgery. There's no timetable for when he comes back, but this is not just as simple as a broken ankle. It's much worse than that, and for the Celtics, as you mentioned, right out of the gate, 5 minutes into their season, all of a sudden their plan of having a roster that puts them a little bit closer to the team that they were opening the season against last night is up in smoke. Now, a lot of games on tap tonight. The 76ers are at Golden State, so the Warriors will take the court for the first time, and a lot of people are intrigued about Philadelphia and where they're at as far as the rebuild process goes. You've got the Nets at the Pacers. Unfortunately, Jared Uthoff did not make the Indiana roster. There was some speculation that he had made the cut, but a couple days ago we learned that he was out. The Celtics have to get right back up on the horse again tonight, by the way, and host the Bucks in Boston. That's a difficult ask of them. And you got the Rockets going on the road to Sacramento, and San Antonio opens up tonight as well. They've got the Minnesota Timberwolves, a team that we talked a lot about. Yes, I won't say a lot about yesterday, but a team that many people feel is going to make a long run in the postseason. And the Spurs are intriguing because Greg Popovich, you never know what he's going to say or who he's going to say it to. And I'm being honest with everybody out there. I tried to get back into the NBA last night. My mind was on the Cubs and the Dodgers. 5 minutes in, my Celtics are done. Renewed interest is not in the cards. I have said all along that I like Greg Popovich. I don't think I can just jump on the Spurs bandwagon. Not that there's probably any room for me. I don't think it's a big bandwagon this year, looking at what the Spurs have on their roster. Their best years are very much in the rearview mirror. But, you know, I want to ask Brent Bloom this when he joins us at the bottom of the hour. Our poll question yesterday was at Golden State or the field, and over 75% of the listeners said you still take Golden State. They're the favorite to repeat this year, and everybody else in the NBA is either just along for the ride or they've got a good team but not a great team. And then, as we mentioned yesterday, the concept of these quote-unquote super teams as well. And the Celtics were trying to get to that point, and they thought Hayward was going to push them over the line, and now they're going to be without him for the majority of the season.
The one thing that I just have yet to figure out is how are the NBA ratings skyrocketing and why are they in such good shape? 319-366-1600. You brought it up right there, Todd, and it's the same for me. I try during the regular season. I try during the postseason sometimes with some of those early matchups to give some attention to the NBA, to follow it, to try to get into it a little bit, and it just doesn't hold my attention at all. Maybe it's because I've never had a vested interest in it. Maybe it's because I've never lived in a region that had a team. But it just hasn't held my attention. For the NBA fans out there, what about it, whether it's the storylines, the soap opera aspect of it, or the quality of play on the court, what about it makes it so intriguing to people? I understand there's a certain segment of people that have so many different theories as to why the NFL ratings are dropping, not the least of which is the fact that the quality of the play on the field has decreased. What is it about the NBA that is, it seems, is gaining a lot of the momentum that the NFL is losing?
It's a great question, and I would love to hear 2 days in a row from our NBA fans who do listen to the program, because I can't put my finger on it. Not to belabor the point, but for a number of reasons which you laid out there, I can't get into it the way that I did when I was much younger. And I thought they had a good discussion on Ryan Russillo's show on ESPN Radio the other day about the NBA used to bank on stars playing for one team and one team only. The Celtics had Larry Bird. The Lakers had Magic Johnson. The Bulls had Michael Jordan. And now we're in this era of highly paid mercenaries who bounce around from team to team, and whether or not that's good for the league or bad for the league. And I guess I tend to look at it as good for the league, because you're able to change the dynamic year to year depending on where a handful of these uber-talented top players decide that they're going to go, and who they want to play with and who they want to play against or who they want to get payback. And then that's where we mentioned yesterday the whole soap opera angle here. But it's a good discussion. I'd like to have this discussion here.
And Kool-Aid on the text line kind of go.
Still the best name on the text line, by the way, Kool-Aid. Nobody is beating that.
It's all about the stars and personalities. Plus, the athleticism is incredible and unique compared to most sports. There's no question about that. These are some of the most incredible athletes on the planet. On a given 10 of the most incredible athletes on a floor on a given night that are playing against each other. So I will not dispute that. I heard a discussion today about the NFL versus college football, and there's somewhat of a magical aspect to college football, and the NFL doesn't have that. And I think to a certain extent, that's kind of what is keeping me away from the NBA. The college basketball, there's still, it's dipped at times over the past few years, but there's still that magical aura around the game. And the NBA, it just sort of seems like all business on the court, except when we get the soap opera of the offseason. But I can't put my finger on it. And you get people on the text line, half of them saying nobody watches the NBA, and the other half saying the NBA is great. We love it. We love the soap opera aspect to it.
Look, you can't say nobody watches it, because when we don't talk about it, people complain about us not talking about it. And you can't say that about any of the sports, because somebody out there is going to wonder why it's not getting the respect that it deserves. We hear that from hockey fans all the time. There are people, believe it or not, that feel we don't talk about enough baseball on this program, or we don't talk enough about football on this program. But you can't sit there and honestly say nobody watches the NBA. It just, that's about as,
it's not true,
cold of a take as you, that means you don't watch the NBA, okay? And that's all you can say at that point, is that's code for you don't watch the NBA, which is fine. Everybody, this is still, I believe, a free country, and you are welcome to watch what you want and change the channel if you don't want to watch it. But there are a ton of people out there who dig the NBA, who think that the game is better now than it's ever been at any point in its existence. And I don't know. I don't have enough information at my fingertips to make that argument one way or the other. I just know that from a personal standpoint, I try to pay attention to it, because when you do this job, and I've said this a million times before, you got to at least try to understand what's going on. And so I follow it along this offseason with, you know, all of the soap opera storylines. And last night, I honestly, legitimately was interested in what Boston was going to look like. I've enjoyed watching Brad Stevens in college at Butler and with the Celtics and the job that he's done with that team. And you bring in Gordon Hayward, and is this going to be the next step for this franchise to try to take down Cleveland in the East? And then it's all over. And to me, there were shades. Now, Hayward is a star caliber player. Kyle Schwarber was just long on intrigue last year, but this was shades to me of watching Schwarber go down last year in Arizona very early in the season and just feeling, well, there goes a key piece of the team and so much for 2016. Now, we all know that things turned out pretty well for the Cubs in the end, but it's a similar sensation to me. So early in the season and you lose a guy and you know that it's going to be a really long time before you see him even wearing a uniform again. Unfortunate situation and just a bad break, no pun intended, because that's the only way that you could describe it is there are breaks and then there are really bad breaks. And this was a near catastrophic injury for Gordon Hayward last night. And what it does to the Celtics moving forward, you just hope that the guy can recover from it and not necessarily, you know, be hindered for the rest of his life. It was gruesome, and I watched it once, and I never want to see it again.
Yeah, and people retweet it, and I really didn't want to see it. I didn't seek it out because I heard how gruesome it was, but of course it comes across the timeline later.
Changing the subject here then, because I know what you watched last night. You were trying to get me to watch it, and I forgot to set the DVR, but did your brother make an appearance on Showtime last
night? He made
a
little bit of a cameo because of the game, but I really hadn't heard much about it up until last week, but Showtime is doing a season with Navy football. They've done it with Notre Dame and Florida State the past couple of years, and it's really good. It's not quite as popular, obviously, as Hard Knocks on HBO, but it's plenty entertaining. It was pretty cool to see the trip that I took last week and kind of come to life in a documentary type way.
What's the name of the show?
A Season with Navy Football.
A Season with Navy Football. And you think that maybe Nebraska fans should be checking this out because their coach could possibly be in the running to take over the Huskers?
Maybe. I don't know if Bill Moose, the new athletic director, would be able to sell that to the fan base, or if he doesn't care. If he doesn't care, then he'll think about Ken Niumatalolo or Paul Johnson and trying to go back to their triple option roots, which would be a very interesting development for the rest of the Big Ten. But there's still that certain coach who used to run the triple option, who's in Orlando right now with an undefeated team, the top 20 team, and Scott Frost, that I think a lot of fans want. And I still think he's very much in the running, despite the fact that the new athletic director is not a Nebraska guy. It would be an interesting hire because Ken Niumatalolo is a really good coach and runs a really good program at Navy that wins, I don't know if you guys realize it, but is winning 9 and 10 games a year in a pretty darn good conference. People thought when they got in the conference they were going to get outmatched physically, and they haven't. They've been very good, and I think that he would be good at a Power 5 school as well, but it's anybody that they hire is going to be a huge risk.
The Yankees are up 2-0 on the Astros right now. The game at Yankee Stadium is in the fourth inning. Yesterday, we mentioned that Rick Pitino was filing a lawsuit in federal court against Adidas for essentially ruining his reputation, which I think is hilarious because anybody who has a modicum of knowledge about the situation knows that Rick Pitino didn't have much of a reputation to salvage in the first place. But Pitino has been officially fired by Louisville a couple days ago, and Louisville has now officially parted ways with the Tom Urich, the athletic director that was involved in all of this as well. So,
is Pitino going to go full Roger Clemens on us?
I hope
just deny, and when the story even goes out of the public light for a while, come back with another accusation of somebody doing him wrong when we all know deep down that there's nobody else to blame but him.
I guess maybe this is a subject for tomorrow, and it's sort of a would you, but would you rather go that route where you just deny, and maybe the people that are your fans, they're true believers, they go down with the ship? Because in this day and age, if people like somebody, they're going to believe what that person says. It's been proven time and time again, over and over again. You can say anything, no matter how blatantly untrue it is, and the people that are in your camp they're swallowing it hook, line, and sinker. Would you rather just fight until the bitter end, even though you're probably guilty, or would you, I guess, just slink off into the sunset and anonymity and hope that no one ever brings up the fact that you were an embarrassment to your family name ever again? I can't see myself being the guy who fights this.
What is he fighting for? That's my question. It just seems like he's fighting for the sake of annoying everybody.
His reputation.
What reputation? Nobody liked him before, nobody liked him during, and nobody's going to like him after.
It's going
to
be,
take your money, go to the NBA. You're not going to coach in college basketball again regardless. It's not like Roger Clemens, who was fighting for a spot in the Hall of Fame. He's not fighting for anything. He will never be hired in the college game again, but he will be hired in the NBA game. Move on. Nobody liked you. Nobody's going to like you. It just seems like he's trolling us. He's coming back with these accusations just for the sake of it. I can't exactly put my finger on why he's doing it.
It is Big Ten Basketball Media Day tomorrow in New York City, and no one will be in more of an awkward position than Richard Pitino, the head coach
Poor
of the
guy.
Minnesota Golden Gophers, who most likely is going to be asked over and over and over again about his father and the situation at Louisville. And I never want to blame a family member or something that somebody else in the family did. It doesn't automatically make you guilty by association. And I know there are a lot of people out there that didn't like Richard Pitino and didn't like that hire based solely on the fact that his father was Rick Pitino. I think that's a little bit unfair, but we'll find out tomorrow just exactly how he handles those questions. He has said that he is planning on being there throughout the entire process for his father. If you missed our interview with Gary Rima today, by the way, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers, he kicked it off in grand fashion by revealing that the reason he was joining us live on the air today is the fact that he went in for a colonoscopy, which is something, and I'm happy for Gary that he used that platform as a PSA for men who are 50 years and older. They say go in and get checked out. And we've been talking a lot in the last couple weeks on the program about men's health, and in particular, low testosterone, which is something that your body produces. And sometimes as you age, your body doesn't produce as much of it as perhaps it did when you were a teenager or a young man in your 20s. And there's a way to get that level back, and it's a course of treatment, and it's available at Mantality, which is a local men's health clinic located in North Liberty. They're open, up and running. All you need to do is check out the website, lowtusa.com. Chances are, if you've got insurance, it can possibly cover most, if not all, of the treatment plan. Their physicians are all board certified, it's as simple as making an appointment and getting a blood test. And then they send the blood off, get you your results, and if you qualify for the treatment plan, it sounds like it's good for you. They've got a 90% success rate regardless of your health. And while they're looking for your testosterone, maybe they come across something else and let you know about it as well. So it's just a good idea while we're discussing men's health and things like colonoscopies. Low testosterone's a real game changer for a lot of guys. And there's nothing to be ashamed about that. It's a natural part of getting older. Your body produces less of it, and in some people, a lot less of it. But you can get it treated. LowTUSA.com. 528, we'll step aside, take a quick break. When we come back, more of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn here on KGYM.
Conventional wisdom may tell you that a local community bank doesn't have the resources to keep up with the big banks. That's not true at Midwest One Bank. From mobile banking to text alerts to pop money person-to-person payments, Midwest One can meet your needs. Enjoy the convenience of opening your account online at MidwestOne.com and the peace of mind knowing you can speak with a banker at a local Midwest One Bank whenever you need them. It's high tech and high touch at Midwest One, where you're the one. Message and data rates may apply. Member FDIC.
Well, that was a quick timeout. Hopefully we were able to install the play that we want. We're going to send it over now on the Statue of Liberty to Kyle Mann. He's got your next Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was pegged as a first-team preseason All-American this year, and as difficult as that can be, he's lived up to it. Midway through the season, he's been named first-team All-America again by the AP, CBS, ESPN, Sporting News, and the All-American website. He leads the Big Ten with 70 tackles and joins NC State's Bradley Chubb and Bama's Minka Fitzpatrick as the only defender named by each outlet. He was also named as a quarterfinalist for the Lott Impact Trophy. Iowa State linebacker Joel Lanning also appeared on one of those All-American lists, being pegged as a first-teamer by CBS Sports. Former Iowa cornerback Greg Maben was released by the Buffalo Bills yesterday, but it didn't take him long at all to find a new opportunity. He announced on Twitter last night that he's going to reunite with C.J. Beathard and George Kittle playing for the 49ers. Iowa State basketball had its media day yesterday, and one thing that maybe didn't come as a surprise but more of a confirmation was head coach Steve Frohm saying his team will have to rely on lone returning starter Solomon Young for offense. They'll be looking for quite the uptick, though, as Young averaged just 4 points per game on less than 3 shot attempts last season. The Cyclones also got a big commitment from David Carr, a 152-pounder ranked the 5th prospect in the nation, and he's the son of former Cyclone Nate Carr. Tonight after the show, it's going to be Cubs and Dodgers in what could be the final game if the Cubs get sweep tonight. It's going to be Jake Arrieta and Alex Wood. Coverage starting at 7 o'clock right after the show on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
And again, not going the Astros' way at Yankee Stadium right now. 2-0, fourth inning, and a win tonight would put the Yankees up 3-2 as the series would shift back to Houston. We have talked today with Gary Rima, the play-by-play voice of the UNI Panthers. We're going to get a little Cyclone talk in coming up in just a little bit. Brent Bloom joining us from CycloneFanatic.com.
Does your supply house give you the tools you need to run your business from the office or from the job site? Oh, well, I guess it can't all be like Ferguson. Ferguson.com gives you access to real-time inventory, apps to quickly restock your trucks, account and billing information, and shipping and delivery status right from your desktop or mobile device. And with product photos and spec sheets and personalized My Lists that make reorders a snap, we've made it easier than ever to do business with us, whenever and wherever you want. Get started at Ferguson.com.
AutoZone presents your headlights. As the days get shorter, your headlights need to shine at their brightest. And upgrading to a brighter light can really maximize your safety. Right now, get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy 2 single Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Headlight Capsules or a twin pack. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
It's time for some straight talk. The big wireless companies charge a boatload for their superior network coverage. But guess what? Straight Talk uses the same cell towers but charges a lot less. Who knew? Well, now you do. And I do. So let's do something. It's time to switch to Straight Talk. Unlimited plans start as low as $35 a month on America's largest, most dependable networks. Straight Talk Wireless. Only at Walmart.
Savings may vary. A month equals 30 days. Please refer always to the latest terms and conditions of service at StraightTalk.com. how will the recent massive data breach affect you? Is your personal information at risk? If you are a Discover credit card member, there's an important action you can take to help protect yourself right now. Go online and sign up for Discover's free Social Security alerts. Once activated, we will alert you if your Social Security number is found on any one of thousands of risky websites. Learn more and sign up for free alerts at discover.com/freealerts. Limitations apply.
At Nationwide, our agents go above and beyond to understand and protect what matters most to you. Our local Nationwide agents are part of our member-driven community, where serving members' needs is our priority. Contact True North Personal Lines at itruenorth.com today. Nationwide is on your side. Nationwide Mutual Insurance Company and Affiliates, Columbus, Ohio. Subject to underwriting guidelines, review, and approval.
This is the Jim Scott Udash. Friday afternoon at 3, we'll come to you live from the KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. The Gym Class will be live at Prairie before their matchup with Kennedy. Here on 1600 AM and 107.5 FM. We'll talk with coaches and athletes as we count down to kickoff and get you ready for high school football action. The KGYM tailgate tour with the Iowa National Guard. Friday afternoon at 3 on the Gym.
AutoZone presents your headlights. As the days get shorter, your headlights need to shine at their brightest. And upgrading to a brighter light can really maximize your safety. Right now, get a $10 AutoZone gift card by mail when you buy two single Sylvania Silver Star Ultra Headlight Capsules or a twin pack. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner, so you can fix your car with confidence. Let's get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
In baseball, a smooth swing is the best way to get a hit. And in bourbon, a smooth taste is the best way to win over fans. Larceny Wheated Bourbon does just that. It's made with more wheat for a smoother taste. Our master distillers hand-select only the finest barrels for a true small-batch bourbon. Get caught in the act. Unlock the smoothness of Larceny Bourbon today. Larceny Bourbon, Bardstown, Kentucky. 46% alcohol by volume. Think wisely, drink wisely.
Colonel Sanders from KFC here to talk about the good old days. Well, the good old days are still here in chicken form. Specifically, in KFC's original recipe fried chicken with 11 herbs and spices. Our delicious chicken is still hand-breaded and pressure-fried just like it was then. Get your fill with two pieces of my original recipe in a $5 fill-up with mashed potatoes, a biscuit, a cookie, and a drink at a KFC near you. KFC, it's still finger-licking good. At participating KFCs, prices may vary. Tax extra.
Who's that guy in the green room?
Mariota?
No, the guy with the face.
Tebow?
No, the one whose face is like, whoa.
The
pixelated face.
Oh, Big Al, Alabama's mascot. He can't be seen in public without his mascot head on.
But we're on the radio.
Rules are rules, dude.
The Nissan Heisman House is back. Check out NissanHeismanHouse.com for a chance to win a Nissan Titan. No purchase necessary. It's December 8th, 2017. Open to residents of USDC 18 and older. Official rules at NissanUSA.com/HeismanHouseSweepstakes.
5:35, welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn, coming your way on all three frequencies, 106.3, 107.5 FM, 1600 AM. Great show so far. We've reached the halfway point and excited to bring in our next guest. We talk to him almost every week here, give or take, on the program. Brent Bloom from CycloneFanatic.com, still coming down from that endorphin rush of opening night of the NBA action. Brent, Are you hungover today? Are you feeling okay? Did you have to call in sick to work? I want to know. Give me the truth.
Man, I stayed up and watched. I almost made it through the Warriors Rockets game. I faded about the start of the fourth quarter. A little disappointed in myself, but I'm hanging in there today. We got another second helping of NBA tonight with a full schedule. So I've got my NBA league pass locked and loaded, and can't wait.
I talked yesterday about not being a fan of the NBA, but I grew up as a Celtics fan, and I thought, well, I'm intrigued. I'll keep one eye open on the Celtics, and then 6 minutes into the Gordon Hayward era, it's pretty much over for the season. So I'm back to being indifferent about the NBA. But what's going on with Fred Hoiberg and the Chicago Bulls? It's got a little MMA action going on.
Yeah, what a nightmare for Freddie. I mean, it just seems like he cannot get anything, any kind of break over there. And now He's got his two power forwards that were both fighting for a starting position, literally fighting each other. And so Bobby Portis decided to sucker punch Nico Mirotic. Mirotic is going to miss 4 to 5 weeks with a fractured face. And Portis has just got suspended 8 games today. So now they're down both of them. They will likely battle the Hawks for the worst record in the NBA. And I don't know what that means for Fred's future. I think they got themselves into this, so they may give him another year to see if he can develop some of those young guys. But, you know, things have not gone well for Fred in Chicago.
I'm just going to say this, Brent. This is all coming on the heels of him trying to distance himself from Hoiball. I think there could be a connection.
You said it, man.
Yeah.
I think there's a pretty good connection there. I trust Fred's judgment, but perhaps he should have embraced it from the jump over there.
Brent, it was men's basketball media day yesterday in Ames, and Steve Prohm talked about how this team might look different stylistically this year as opposed to last year. We know the players are going to be different, but how might this team look different stylistically this year?
That's a great question. I mean, I think those guys yesterday, they needed some name tags for the media because it's an entirely different roster. It's really going to be odd for Iowa State fans because there's so many new faces. It's not just, you know, one or two new faces that they sprinkle into the rotation. I mean, 75% of the rotation is new. So it's really tough to say. What we do know for sure is this team, by and large, is not going to shoot the three nearly as well as they have in the last 6 years. And so they're going to have to manufacture some different ways to score, which is a little bit unique for Iowa State fans because they've gotten so used to Iowa State filling it up, especially from the perimeter. Steve Prohm still wants this team to score in the 80s. It's just going to be a different way of going about it. You'll see a lot more drives to the rim. Lindell Wigginton is going to shoot a lot of free throws, some more free throws, and don't really have a knockdown three-point shooter outside of Donovan Jackson at this point. Now, Terrence Lewis could develop into that, and maybe Nick Weiler-Babb could figure it out, but he only shot about 20% last year. So they're going to be more of a drive to the rim and go to the free throw line type of offense, and we'll see where those points come from. I think there's some capable pieces here, but it's not going to be the days past of, you know, your Naz Longs and your Matt Thomas is gunning from outside. This is going to be a remarkably different offensive team. The system will be about the same. It's just the ways they get points will be different.
There's already one-and-done talk around Wigginton. Do you think that's warranted?
No, I don't. I mean, I think it's anytime you get a five-star recruit, I guess that's the natural thing. Oh, you're going to be here? And, I mean, I got to give Lindell credit. He answered it well yesterday, but he said, I don't know. I mean, I'm going to plan to contribute as much as I can. If I get noticed, then great. I mean, he's, in my opinion, I've seen him practice a couple of times. He is as good of athlete as Iowa State has had at guard in a long, long time. But I don't know if he's a polished product yet that can be, you know, a one-and-done guy. I mean, if you're looking at one-and-dones at his position, the point guard, you have to be an ultra-elite talent. I mean, you're just think about the point guards that have made the leap after 1 year, and it's a pretty short list. I mean, you're looking at John Wall. You're looking at last year De'Aaron Fox, Lonzo Ball. He's not at that level. He's good. He's very good. But he's going to be different, and I would be shocked. I would be shocked if he's good enough to even sniff the first round. And if you're not in that category, then there's no business in trying to go early if you're going to be a second rounder, as you've seen now from guys like that have been drafted in the second round and now are kicking around Europe or the G League. It's just not worth it. I think he may get there by year two, if I'm being optimistic, and then year three, but I think he's a guy that'll be in Ames for at least 2 years, so I wouldn't worry about that.
All the talk is about everything that we don't know about this basketball team. So you mentioned it earlier, they're not going to shoot the three quite as well as they did last year. What else do we know about this team?
Well, that's the toughest part is there's so, you know, Donovan Jackson is going to be the go-to guy, him and Wigginton. So that those two will be leaned on heavily. I would imagine those two will both be double-figure scorers. But other than that, I'm not really sure. I mean, I honestly couldn't tell you the starting five. And usually by now you have a pretty good idea. There's three guys that are locked into that starting lineup, in my opinion, and that is Jackson, Wigginton, and then Solomon Young, of course, who started most of the end of last year. But otherwise, positions 4 through really 9, I don't know how that's going to break down. There's some injury things with Hans Brace, who's a grad transfer from Princeton. He's finally starting to get into five-on-five mode. I think he'll be ready by when the season starts, but unknown him, he brings some size. And then there's just a bunch of unknowns. You got some young guys, you got some new pieces in there. How do they all fit together? So Jackson and Wigginton are going to be the go-to guys. outside of that, it's kind of an unknown. And this is new for Iowa State, kind of fun. It's like you don't know what's going to be under the Christmas tree.
What's the rest of the Big 12 look like this year, Brent?
Get this. Kansas is expected to win it again.
Wow, shocker.
That's breaking news here. But no, I think it's going to be good. Kansas is going to be great. I think they're the overwhelming favorite. West Virginia is solid, although they just had a kid, Esa Ahmad, who is going to be academically ineligible for the first semester, but I don't know if that'll impact them a whole lot. But up and down, pretty good. I mean, you have some publications picking Iowa State 9th and 10th, and honestly, I think that's okay. That's warranted. If you look at the experience coming back, Iowa State has by far the least amount of experience returning, and so people say it's a slap in the face, but really, and you've got TCU, who's really good. Obviously, you guys know them well from beating Iowa last year in NIT. They return everybody. Oklahoma State's going to be down, but everybody else has guys back, and so I think it's going to be pretty solid. And you're looking at a conference that's going to get 6 again, probably maybe 7, and Iowa State hopes to be in that conversation. But I think it's going to be an uphill challenge for Iowa State to get there.
Brent, if this team, let's say, gets 18, 19 wins and gets to the NIT, will people be okay with that? Will Cyclone fans be okay with that?
I hope so. I think the majority of Iowa State fans are pretty grounded. Now, you always have the fringes who will say that Iowa State should be at Kansas's level and should always be in the NCAA tournament. And at some point, maybe Iowa State will get there. But with this roster, it's just, I think, and they said yesterday, their goal is still the NCAA tournament. That hasn't changed. And they're not going to change, you know, their lip service to the outside world. But if they can make the NIT, I think in my mind, that'd be a good season. There's still a possibility they can get to the NCAA tournament. Don't get me wrong, but I think people will understand with all the new pieces, and you'll see growth. And I think that's the fun part is how much will players like Wigginton, Terrence Lewis, Cam Lard grow from game 1 to game 30 and then build it into next season? Because if you start to circle, you know, where this team's going to go, I think you're looking at next year as another year where they can get in the NCAA tournament and do some damage, really. Because the player they've got sitting out, Mariel Shayok, the kid from Virginia, he's going to be dynamite. And he's already, perhaps, he's definitely one of the three best players in practice right now. And he's a player that can average probably 15 points a game next season. You add him into the mix with the people they got coming in. And I think if you look at the process, as they say, next year's the one to circle. But, yeah, there's still a chance this year. And I think Iowa State fans will understand the building blocks to be put in place.
Talking Cyclone Sports with Brent Bloom. Good time to remind everybody if they tune in next week on Monday when we chat with John Walters, we've got a pair of tickets to the TCU homecoming game that Craig Adamson from True Wealth Stewardship has hooked us up with. We'll be giving those away on Monday. Good transition from basketball to football. You talk about how good Kansas is at basketball. They are really bad at football. Not to take anything away from what Iowa State was able to accomplish, and I did watch that game. It was Iowa's bye week last weekend. I don't know why I watched that game because I lost interest in it really quickly, but it was good to see Iowa State put their foot on Kansas's throat and not look back.
Yeah, and the conditions dictated that game was just kind of going to be a blah type of game, but Iowa State did what they had to do. And, you know, even as bad as Kansas is, they still had been moving the ball on people. I mean, last week's game, they had been averaging 460 yards of offense, which, you know, was more than Iowa State. So Iowa State's defense was impressive, and Kansas helped them out quite a bit early in that game. But from there, Iowa State just kind of took the life out of them, and so that was nice to see. I can't recall a time, you know, I guess Texas Tech last year also did that for Iowa State, where that game was essentially over with at the end of the first quarter. So it was just kind of a coast home, and the defense did their job, and they've really come along. They've done an impressive job of holding up against the run, getting tackles for loss, and doing everything very well. So that's encouraging going forward because there's going to be in some battles here, starting with Texas Tech, where that defense is going to play much better offenses. And then offensively, obviously, just did what it had to do. It wasn't pretty, and Kyle Kemp didn't play great, but they didn't turn the ball over. And I think going forward, that's how Iowa State's going to be successful, you know, without Jacob Park, is you just manage the game offensively. It's kind of like the Ravens method from 2000, if you remember Trent Dilfer, but don't turn the ball over, get the ground game going a little bit, get in your playmakers' hands, and then let your defense do the heavy lifting. I think this defense is proving that they are capable against some really talented pieces to, you know, to keep Iowa State in the game and almost every game from here on forward.
Brent, speaking of the defense, John Haycock, the defensive coordinator, has talked about game plans against a lot of Big 12 teams, and it's really similar for a lot of them. Keep the ball in front of you and rally to the football. Is that going to work against Texas Tech, who makes their money on those five-yard underneath routes?
Yeah, I mean, I think it actually – Iowa State has now switched to this 3-3-5, if my math's right. I need to do some addition here. But, yeah, so that's actually, I think, could hold up okay against a Texas Tech. In the last two games, Iowa State hasn't really blitzed a whole lot. It has been that, you know, keep everything in front. That's what Texas Tech kills you with. It's not the big deep ball. It's those underneath stuff, those wide receiver screen games, and then they take a 10-yard catch and then with their quick outside receivers and take it to the house. And I think with the way Iowa State's tackling and the way they've been able to keep things in front, I think it matches up okay. But Kansas's speed's quite a bit different than Texas Tech's speeds, and they got a lot of guys and a lot of weapons, and very impressed with always what Kingsbury's club can do offensively. And really what has changed for them is their defense has been better. Now, it's not the sieve it usually is, so they've been holding some Big 12 offenses in check. And so that's where the challenge is for Iowa State. I think, you know, Texas didn't get there, you know, probably 30 points. Can Iowa State get there? And I think that's the challenge come Saturday.
Joel Lanning is getting all the love on the defensive side of the football. It's almost a shame he's overshadowing Ray Lima. How big of a part has he been in this turnaround for the Cyclones?
I think he's the MVP of the team. I mean, and I don't say that lightly. He has been that much of a difference maker from last year to this year. I mean, Iowa State was allowing 200 yards of rushing offense. Now they're down to 115. And that completely transforms everything you do defensively. If teams can run the ball on you up the middle, I don't care who they are, they're going to run the ball up you up the middle. And Iowa State's been able to stop that. They're now in the top 30 defensively in rush defense in a place they haven't been since 2005. They have not been in the top 30 since 2005. And you wonder why Iowa State's lost so many games the last 4 years. It's because they've been in the hundreds in rush defense. And get this is probably my favorite stat of college football. Of the 35 teams that were top 35 in rush defense last year, all 35 had winning records. Of the 30 teams that are in the top 30 this year, 29 of them have winning records. It's the number one stat for success in college football. If you can stop the run, you're going to be in almost every game. Because as the old adage says, if you throw the ball, three things happen and two of them are bad. And so that way, if this defense can hold up that in that run defense, they're going to be in a lot of games. And then you just find ways to create turnovers and then also hope your offense is able to run the ball on the other end. But Ray Lima has been the biggest factor for Iowa State's turnaround. And the good news, he's only a sophomore.
What does this team need from Kyle Kemp week in and week out at the quarterback position?
Just don't screw up. I mean, he's got guys around him. And I think that's what he did so well against Oklahoma and then to a lesser extent against Kansas is he didn't turn the ball over and he just got it to his guys. And when you have David Montgomery, Trevor Ryan, Alan Lazard, Akeem Butler, and those players on the outside, you can get them the ball. They can make the plays. He doesn't have to be Jacob Hark throwing, you know, crossing patterns 30 yards down the field. He doesn't have that arm to do that, but he can get the ball in his players' hands. Don't turn the ball over and just be reliable and let the playmakers carry the load. And you do that, I think that's enough for Iowa State to get some points on the board. And so he's not a flashy guy. He's just going to do his job, and that job is just being a game manager. I mean, that's really what it is.
Let's bookend this segment by going back to the NBA. Our poll question yesterday at KGYMradio.com is, will the Golden State Warriors repeat as champs? Brent, I want you to answer that.
Yes. I mean, that's not – although Cleveland looked better, but no, Golden State's so good. I don't care if they lost to Houston. They have just too many people. In fact, they could lose one of those three for an extended period of time this season, and it won't matter. If those big three are healthy in the postseason, Golden State's going to win, and that's just the way it is. They're so good, and yet they're still pretty young. All those three guys are under 28 years old, so it's scary that they could keep this up for a couple number of years here.
Brent, we appreciate it as always. Thanks for the time. We'll catch up with you down the road.
All right, fellas. Have a good one.
Brent Bloom, CycloneFanatic.com, joining us as we get ready to drop the curtain on hour number two of the program. Still more to come, including that $30 gift card to La Cantina Mexican Bar and Grill. Check them out online, lacantina319.com. Of course, they've got three locations, one in Marion, one in downtown Cedar Rapids, right across from the U.S. Cellular Center, and their newest location in the Fountains off Edgewood. More of the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn on the way after this.
Yep, I know, it's still warm out, but Doug McAllister and the folks at Pinnacle Realty know time flies. Turns out that if you want to sell your home or buy a home in the Cedar Rapids area and be set by the holidays, you've got to get rolling now. Doug McAllister at Pinnacle Realty knows all about timing and holiday creep. That means not letting the holidays creep up on you. Let's just call buying and selling a home by the time the snow flies your early holiday gift to yourself. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com.
Ho, ho, ho.
Shifting gears is what it takes sometimes to move forward. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is looking for some special people like you who view life a bit differently. You're intrigued by the thought of working all night when the rest of the world isn't. You like the freedom and the pay night work offers, plus overtime. Shifting gears with PMX Overnight offers stellar health benefits with medical, dental, and vision, coupled with rock-solid retirement benefits. Working the overnight shift at PMX isn't for everyone, but shifting gears may be perfect for you. Learn more at ipmx.com.
The High School Football Scoreboard Show is brought to you by Holmes Murphy, Fighting Insurance Solutions. Holmes Murphy, thinking ahead. Visit HOLMESMurphy.com.
It is 5:54. Welcome back in the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. Take it up until 7 o'clock tonight. Taking a peek at Yankee Stadium, it's still 2-0 with New York on top of Houston. That game now in the bottom of the fifth inning. Cubs and Dodgers on the way tonight, Game 4 National League Championship Series from Wrigley Field. It'll be Jake Arrieta making what could be his final start for the Cubs against Alex Wood, the left-hander for Dave Roberts and the Dodgers. That would be Dave Roberts, who had one of the most famous stolen bases in all of baseball on a team that eventually came back from a 3-0 deficit 13 years ago yesterday. Not that history is due to repeat itself anytime soon. Let's send it over to Kyle. He's got another Midwest One Bank Big Board update. Midwest One, where you're the one.
Iowa linebacker Josie Jewell was pegged as a first-team preseason All-American this year, and as difficult as that can be, he's lived up to it. Midway through the season, he's been named first-team All-America again by the AP, CBS, ESPN, Sporting News, and the All-American website. He was also announced as a quarterfinalist for the Lott Impact Trophy. Iowa State linebacker Joe Lanning also appeared on one of those All-American lists, being pegged as a first-teamer by CBS Sports. Former Iowa cornerback Greg Maven was released by the Buffalo Bills yesterday, but it didn't take him long at all to find a new opportunity. He announced on Twitter last night that he'd reunite with C.J. Beathard and George Kittle playing for the 49ers. Iowa State basketball had its media day yesterday, and one thing that maybe didn't come as a surprise necessarily, but more of a confirmation, was head coach Steve Prohm saying his team will have to rely on lone returning starter Solomon Young for some offense. They'll be looking for quite the uptick, though, as Young averaged just 4 points per game on less than 3 shot attempts last year. The Cyclone wrestling program got a commitment from David Carr, a 152-pounder ranked the 5th best prospect in the country and son of former Cyclone Nate Carr. Tonight after the show, we're going to have what could be the final game for the Cubs. Alex Wood will start Game 4 for the Dodgers, and Jake Arrieta will make what could be his final start as a Cub at Wrigley Field. The Cubs trying to avoid a sweep beginning at 8 o'clock with coverage right after the show on all 3 KGYM frequencies.
It is Big Ten Men's Basketball Media Day tomorrow in New York City, and this is a big announcement that the conference made earlier today, but Andy Katz, most recently of ESPN, joining the BTN for its basketball coverage. And among the new analysts this year, former Purdue standout Robbie Hummel. And we'll have a little bit of basketball coverage for you tomorrow as well. Fran McCaffrey and several Hawkeyes making the trip to New York City. Fran and the Hawks met the media at Carver Hawkeye Arena on Monday this week. Basketball right around the corner, but about 3 weeks from now, I think it'll be that first exhibition game. And everybody will be excited for that. We've got the 6 o'clock showdown on the way coming up in just a few minutes. Tickets to the Saturday, November 18th Hairball concert. They can be yours if you can answer 7 questions in 60 seconds. The tickets tonight going to the winner in the 6 o'clock showdown. That is on the horizon, as well as Kyle mentioned, Game 4 of the National League Championship Series between the Cubs and the Dodgers. Do the Cubs stave off elimination tonight? It's the Emil's Hideaway poll question at KGYMRadio.com. Vote early, vote often. We'll give you the results before we're off the air tonight. 2 hours down, one to go, more to come, including the 6 o'clock showdown on the way after this.